As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, we meditate for a few moments on the eighth verse of Hebrews chapter 13. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll read the first 14 verses, and then read again our text, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." To that point we read the holy and inerrant word of Jehovah God. Verse 8 is our text this morning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved of God, the words of our text are a confession of faith. You and I confess with the saints of all ages, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, it's possible that the way from the way that this is written in Hebrews 13, this was actually a line from an early apostolic confession of faith. We don't know that for sure, but it's possible. Whether or not that's true, though, this is a confession of the church of all ages, inscripturated here in Hebrews 13. The writer to the Hebrews, by inspiration, is using this confessional line in the context to teach the Jewish converts to whom he writes that they must hold fast to the faith. In verse 7, the previous verse, he has charged, "Remember them which have had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Don't forget the previous pastors you have had who have taught you the word of God. Don't neglect the faith that they have taught you and the way that they have carried out that faith in their life." And now here in verse 8, he gives the reason why they ought not neglect that, even though those pastors are gone now, have moved on. Here's the reason: because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and therefore the faith is the same. And since that's true, he goes on to charge them in the next verse, verse 9, "Be not carried about with divers or various strange doctrines. Christ's truth is changeless down through the ages, for it comes from the Christ who himself is changeless, the same yesterday, today, and forever." A vitally important application of the truth of this confession, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nonetheless, the confession itself can stand by itself too, regardless of its context, as by itself an astounding confession of truth. So obvious, perhaps, so simple, perhaps, that you say a child knows this for sure, but not always so properly considered by us. And if not, then to our hurt and not our advantage. For this is the rock upon which we may stand. This is the anchor for the soul in the midst of the changing, churning waves of this life. And it is the truth that is set before us this morning, not only in word, but also in sign and in seal. Before you this morning on this table, beloved, in sign form, is this Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to whom you may come this morning and to whom you must come and lay hold of by faith as your rock, your anchor, your strength. So as we come to the table of the Lord, let's understand and confess it individually and together. Do so under the theme, all may change, but Jesus never. Let's notice first the truth, second the need for that, and third the charge for us now knowing it. Jesus Christ, the same. How do you hear that word, the same? Some people, at least at first, don't really like anything that's described as the same. Especially perhaps younger people, but not limited to younger people either. That word, the same, is often reserved for a place in derogatory comments. Phrases like, she wore the same clothes as last week. Or, isn't that the same phone you had 2 years ago? Or, sadly, more and more, the same worship service, Sunday after Sunday. Especially youth culture, but all the culture is influenced by youth culture. It's a culture that wants everything different, constantly changing, new, progressive. And it's a culture that views anything that's described as the same, like grandma's old orange carpet, out of touch, irrelevant, a thing, a relic of the past to be left behind. But sometimes with a little bit of age comes a little bit of wisdom. And eventually, the majority of us recognize at some point that it is necessary, at least for some things, to remain the same. And so we have respect for a mechanic shop that is on its seventh generation and has been reliable from generation to generation as long as we can remember. We stand in awe when we come to a national park and we view a landscape that has been unchanging since the days of Lewis and Clark. We appreciate a pizza place that's been on the same street corner for ages, serving the same recipe. We love a friend who's unchanging, who's been there, faithful to us, time after time after time. And even come by spiritual maturity to appreciate a worship that is built upon enduring scriptural principles. But even as we begin to recognize the need for the same in many things, we're left with a realization that nearly all things still change. A grandson comes along, and though he's an all right mechanic himself, he's a drunk and can never get anything done on time after six generations of faithfulness. a national chain comes in and makes it impossible for the mom-and-pop pizza place to stay open anymore. Developers come along and take over part of once had been protected land. A friend falls, or at least eventually passes away in death, leaving me alone here. Even churches faithful in the past go apostate, and you come, as a child of God at least, to the realization that there is only one who never changes, never fails, and upon whom the church may rely so entirely that upon him she may stake everything, her past, her present, her future. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. One who is always constant, always the same, yet never in such a way that he is like grandma's old orange carpet, that he's irrelevant now, that he's a relic of the past that has nothing to say to the present. But in such a way that always the same, he's always everything that we need in this present, no matter when that present is. One who is unchanging, and not unchanging merely as an echo of a bygone era, but one who is unchanging and constant, yet living in a dynamic bond with his people, always in the present. The text is describing Jesus, the man Jesus. But from one point of view, of course, the man Jesus is not always the same, is he? Because he is in history, dipping his foot into the stream of history in his incarnation, he is subject to change on some level. He grew from an infant to a boy to a man. He learned, he developed as he grew. He died, and then he rose again in a changed body. But from the point of view of his work, and the point of view of his office, he is unchanging, and that's the point of the text before us. His work, his office, his faithfulness in what he has been called to do is unfailing. As mediator of the covenant, that's his office, he is the unchanging one. Jesus, the man Jesus, the Christ, the text says. Jesus as the Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And you remember that Christ is the title for his office, the office of mediator of the covenant of grace, an office that has been given to him by God, in which he has been assigned the task on behalf of God to mediate God and his people, to reconcile the people to Jehovah God, and to preserve them in that reconciliation, and to bring them to God in a way that is so close, a way that they never had it in Adam, so that the tabernacle of God finally is with men in the new heavens and new earth forever. An office and a calling in that office that Jesus carries out, fulfilling the threefold office of the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and king. He is the office bearer, the Christ, mediator of the covenant, as the prophet, the priest, and the king. And the man Jesus, as our representative, changelessly, unfailingly, carries out the calling of the Christ in that way, without fail, without flicker, without fault. As the prophet, he reveals to us the truth that must be known for us to be reconciled to Jehovah God. As the great priest, he goes on to become the means, the ground by which we might be restored to Jehovah God. By offering himself as a sacrifice for sin, the sin bearer, he takes away what is the barrier between God and us and consumes it upon himself, that there might be covenant, that there might be reconciliation with Jehovah God. As the king, he rules over his church by a sovereign grace, changelessly, constantly ruling over her for her preservation and growth, guiding her through this life unto God. And in this work, he is constant. He is faithful. He is unfailing. And the reason why he is able to be such is because his person, united to that humanity, his person is the unchanging and unfailing God himself. Jesus, the Christ, is in his person, the second person of the Trinity. That is the explanation for why he is always the same yesterday, today, and forever as he carries out his work in his office toward his people. For God is always the same. James describes God as the one in whom there is no shadow of turning. There's no turning of him so that there's another side you haven't seen that he changes into. In Malachi, God says, I am God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And Jesus the Christ, as to his person, is this God unchanging and unfailing. Therefore, as he carries out his work, even through in his holy humanity. Other prophets and priests and kings have failed, sometimes horribly so. Jeremiah 5, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. What about the priests, Jeremiah? And the priests bear rule by their means. What about the kings? Even the best of the kings of Israel, David and Solomon, were full of great, terrible sins. But this prophet, this priest, and this king carries out his office of reconciliation, mediation, as the perfect Son of God. He has and forever will be the same. What he was, he still is, and what he is, he ever will be. The same Christ that you know in truth today, and whose official work you experience in your own life, is the Christ that he has always been to the saints of ages past, Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to Job. Yesterday, today, and forever, how far back does yesterday go in the mind of the writer to the Hebrews? If you think only of the yesterday of your own life, you haven't gone back far enough. If you think only of yesterday as going back to the cross of Jesus Christ, you haven't gone back far enough. If we take yesterday back to his birth, even we have not gone back far enough. For as long as there have been a people in need of mediation and reconciliation to God, there has been a Christ in this office doing this work. Not in the same way, but there has been a Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, he arrives on the pages of Scripture, doesn't he? Though not incarnate yet, he appears on the pages of Scripture in the form of a man, the pre-incarnate Christ, often called the angel of Jehovah. And he appears as prophet, priest, and king. As king, he appears with a sword in his hand as the commander of the army of the Lord God of hosts in Joshua chapter 5 to lead his church and to give her the promised land, the reconciliation with God in that typical land. As the same king, he comes as the same pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of Jehovah, in 2 Kings 19, verse 35, to destroy 185,000 Assyrians and preserve the church that would have been wiped off the face of the earth, as a king ought to do. As prophet, he comes on the pages of Scripture, again, the angel of Jehovah, the pre-incarnate Christ, prophesying of the birth of a judge, Judges 13, verse 3. As prophet, he comes to Abraham, the angel of Jehovah, again the pre-incarnate Christ, and foretells of the birth of Isaac, the one who will be such a type of himself. As priest, he appears. As the angel of Jehovah wrestles with Jacob and then blesses him with a priestly blessing in Genesis 32. As priest, he appears to Joshua in the vision of Zechariah. He removes Joshua's filthy garments and puts upon Joshua the white robes of his own righteousness, reconciling him to God, the same Christ. This Christ came incarnate in the yesterday of the New Testament, born of a woman born under the law, carrying out the same work, now taking upon himself permanently a humanity. On the cross, this same Christ does the same work. As priest, he lays down his life. As atonement for sin, as prophet, he cries out, "Father, forgive them." As king, he defeats sin and Satan upon his cross. In his resurrection, he is the same Christ. As prophet, opening the scriptures to the men on the road to Damascus, alleging that the Christ must needs suffer these things. As king, in charge of all the elements of the world, he walks through walls. As priest, he presents his nail-scarred hands to Thomas, "I have died for you." From his throne in heaven in his ascension, he's the same Christ doing the same mediatorial work, prophesying through his apostles, presenting himself to God, sacrifice for sin, ruling over all things from the right hand of God. One constant running through the yesterday of the history of this world as nations rise and fall and everything changes, this Christ the same. The same Christ of yesterday, today still doing the same work in the same office. As prophet, prophesying still the same truth as ever. Through his word, the completed scriptures, and the exposition of that word in faithfulness and the preaching of that word. As priest, still bringing his own body in the Holy of Holies above to God as a sacrifice of atoning work for sin and sending graces and blessings down upon his people. As king ruling over his church in truth, the same Christ in the same office, so that when the world calls, he must change or you become irrelevant. The church stands and says, he's the same Christ. Accoutrements may change, but the same Christ yesterday and still today. It knows that whatever tomorrow brings and forever, this Christ is the same then too. As the ages roll on, the same prophetic voice will declare the same truth to the end of the world. The same priest will be there for the same covering for sin. The same king will have the strings of all the earth in his hand. And even when the Antichrist rises and presumes to take his throne, Christ sits as king. All else will fail and fall. The sun and moon will turn to blood, Revelation says. The stars eventually will fall out of the sky, but this Christ stays the same. And when we are in glory forever, he will be unchanging then as now, the same source of truth from God to us, the same priestly presence, the ground upon which we have a right to be there, and the same king ruling over all things in perfection. Oh, beloved, upon this you may rest your soul this morning. Whatever changes the world may bring, in whatever state the church may find herself, in whatever is changing in your own life, this Christ remains the same. Think for a moment of all the changes in this world from the days of Adam and Eve until now. And consider what changes there will be in this world in the future. Think of the rise and fall of empires and nations. Think of the discoveries and inventions of technology and scientific advancement from those days to today and what could be in the future. Think of diseases and of cures. Think about how, along with all of the advancements in society, has come the progress in the organic development of sin in the world and men's pressing of their discoveries in the service of sin and the blossoming of the expression of sin. Think of cultures that develop and change. Cultures in different parts of the world, different cultures, and yet a uniting of them into a one world culture now. All variable and moving and yet coming together. Think of the changes in the church through the ages. The changes from Old Testament to New Testament, from type and shadow to reality. The development in church history. From times where emperors make the church a part of the state, giving her a privileged position on the earth, to times where the edicts of kings and princes are against her and she suffers the rage of the whole world. From times of great growth and strength to times where one wonders if there are even yet 7,000 who bow the knee to Baal. From times of great reformation and doctrinal strength standing upon the word to times of appalling apostasy. Narrow it down to changes that can take place in one congregation. The size and strength of one congregation may come and go. Youth may be firm in faith, strong in the word at one point and weaker later. Think of ministers who come and go, old members who pass on to glory and young members who rise up. Yet Jesus Christ is the same through all of it. And as we narrow it down, think of your own life and the constant change in your own days upon this earth. From childhood years to teenage years to adulthood and to old age. The changes in the growth and development and aging of your own body. Your soul that's constantly in process. Your mind that's constantly growing. Think of the people who've come in and out of your life. Teachers who've come and gone in your younger days. People who've entered and exited your life. Think of sickness and health, gains and losses, a time to laugh and a time to cry, spiritual mountaintops and spiritual valleys. And yet this Christ is the same Christ doing the same work officially on behalf of God, unfailing, unchanging for you and all of His people yesterday, today, and forever. Constant in His office of prophet and priest and king. All He's faithful to bring His sons and daughters to God through all of these changes and all of these variables that are constantly happening in the history of this world beginning to end. And therefore, the one upon whom the church may constantly rely. Always the same Christ, always relating to His people in a real dynamic relationship of love and fellowship through the same grace and the same mercy and the same power and the same character and the same love and the same truth. The only rock upon which she may rely, so that when my mother and father even forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The one whose truth I may trust, whose constant work for His church will ever be constant, never waxes or wanes. So that no matter where I am upon this globe, or whatever state I am in, or whatever is happening in my life, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And well He is, beloved of God, well He is. All else may change, and I can bear it. The mechanic shop that has been faithful for 6 generations may now fail in the 7th, and I can carry on. The insurance company can go bankrupt after 100 years, and another rises up to replace it, and even if it doesn't, I can bear it. Even the friend may fall away, and I can handle it. But if he changes, if he fails in one moment, if he flickers, if he wanes, all is undone and the grand project of redemption, that is the purpose of all things, goes up in smoke. The necessity of this changeless Christ carrying out his work changelessly is not only due to the fact that everything else changes, and he is the one variable that does not, but it is the nature of what he is doing as that one constant through the changing course of life. That what he is doing is so utterly imperative, so utterly important, that it cannot change. It cannot even flicker for one moment. He redeems unto God. He reconciles the body of Christ to God himself throughout the history of the world, beginning to end. This is the purpose of all things. This is why everything is here. And now here you are in this tiny moment of the history of this world. And you are part of that grand project from beginning to end. And you must be reconciled to this God in your life. And you discover that there is one other thing besides him that never changes. And never has changed from Adam to the end. From North America to China, from persecution to protection. And that is that the sins of this body of Jesus Christ rise up to God and make her accountable to bear the just wrath of a holy God, causing the purpose of all things to hang in the balance. Did you discover that again this week for yourself in a week of self-examination? You as a part of this church, in this part of the history of this world, this present, this today, you need this unchanging Jesus Christ in his office of prophet, priest, and king to work his unfailing work for you. You need the same Christ that Adam and Eve needed as they sat with a shame that no fig leaf could cover up. You need the same Christ that Abraham needed when he lied about Sarah to Pharaoh. You need the same Christ, same prophet, priest, and king to reconcile you to God that David needed when he cried out, "I can't bear the crushing weight of this guilt anymore." You need the same Christ in his same office, in his same work, that Paul needed when out of despair he cried out, "The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." The same Christ that your brothers and sisters need in Canada or Mexico or Singapore. The same Christ is needed under communism as under capitalism. The same Christ is when men are being marched to the stake to be burned as when they go to a cubicle on a Monday morning. The same Christ when you talk on a cell phone as when they typed out in Morse code. The same Christ you needed 3 months ago and that you will need 3 months from now. It's the same Christ today as yesterday. And it will be the same forever. So come. Come to this same Christ. This morning, child of God, repentant sinner, nothing new to be discovered here. Come and partake of the same bread and the same wine in the same way as ever you did. Nothing new to be seen here. Come, and the same prophet will speak the same words that he has ever spoken. This is my body, broken for you. And the same priest will present the same sacrifice that ever he has presented. Here, a covering, an atonement for your sin. The same king will unite himself to you for the rule over your same life as ever he has done. And you will find the same blessing that ever the church has found. The same shelter from the same angel of death As the Israelites found in Egypt, the same forgiveness that Peter found on the shores of Galilee, the same truth that the church has always found as she accepted no priest of Rome in the place of Christ, the same strength that the church has found even in times of persecution. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Amen. Father in heaven, grant us this Christ, now in sign and seal, and the faith to receive Him. Amen.